Let's pray. Gracious God, as we turn to your word for us, may your spirit fill us. Help us to be steadfast in our hearing and in our speaking, in our believing, in our living. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, the 11th through the 16th verses. This morning I'll be reading from the Common English Bible. But as for you, man of God, pursue righteousness, holy living, faithfulness, love, endurance, and gentleness. Compete in the good fight of faith. Grab hold of eternal life. You were called to it, and you made it a good confession of it in the presence of many witnesses. I command you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and Christ Jesus, who made the good confession when testifying before Pontius Pilate. Obey this order without fault or failure until the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. The timing of this appearance is revealed by God alone, who is the blessed and only Master, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He alone has immortality and lives in light that no one can come near. No human being has ever seen or is able to see him. Honor and eternal power belong to him. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. For those of you, excuse me, I have a real bad cough. And if I start coughing and I walk off, it's not because of you, but I just can't go any longer. And it happens occasionally. And I don't know when it's going to happen, but it might happen right now. Anyway, 2 years ago, we were here in the midst of Jim Bolger, an efficiency and productivity consultant doing work here at the church. Dondra had been appointed to the Lawrenceville Road United Methodist Church in Tucker, and we were having to find somebody to take her place. The staff parish relations committee was on steroids, on overdrive. It was busy, and we started looking for a director of youth ministries. And we went through the process. After we had initial interviews with some people, we then narrowed it down. And the idea was that we would overdose them with Kingswood. And that what happened was these candidates would come and they would speak to Mark Grant for supposedly an hour. He would show them the give them a tour of the building, show them the youth area, interview them, talk to them, get a feel for them. Mark can talk longer than an hour. I just want to get that out front. After these candidates left Mark, they went to be with Jessica to talk about what it was like to be on the staff. And Jessica can talk longer than an hour. I was to talk with them last. I was thinking it would be after 2 hours. All the times I had to talk, it was after 3 hours. And so I talked with them about theology, their faith journey, all those sorts of things. Well, the night that we were meeting with Wilmer, when I got through talking with Wilmer, for about an hour and a half. So this was probably on hour number 4 or 5 for that night. I'm through, I'm tired, I'm hoarse. And Wilmer says, "May I pray for you?" I said to myself, I didn't call myself precious that time. I just said, I was too tired to be precious. I said, "He's the man for me." And then he prayed, and I knew he was the man for me, because he prayed. So, let's get to our scripture. 1 Timothy, Paul is writing a letter to his young associate. We meet Timothy not in 1 Timothy, we meet him in Acts 16, the 16th chapter of Acts. Which falls after, let's see if y'all know where, it falls after chapter 15. Y'all can count. The 16th chapter comes after the 15th chapter. The 15th chapter is the Council of Jerusalem, where they decide, the apostles decide, you do not have to become a Jewish person to be a Christian. You do not have to be a Jew to be a Christian. And a Gentile does not have to become a Jew. That was decided. They leave. They go to Antioch. Paul and Barnabas are trying to figure out where they want to go next on their missionary journeys. And Barnabas makes the mistake of saying, I think we need to ask John Mark to go with us again. And Paul says, not on your life am I going anywhere with John Mark. If you want to go with him, you go with him. I'm going with somebody else. And so they split up. Barnabas and John Mark go together, and Paul gets with Silas. They leave Antioch and go to Tarsus, where the hometown of Paul, and they leave there and go to Derbe, and then they end up in Lystra. And while they are there, they meet young Timothy, whose mother is Jewish, is a Jewish Christian, but his father is a Greek. And so they're meeting. And then they have to decide he wants to go. They want him to go with them, but he's not been circumcised. They've just decided that in the 15th chapter. But Paul says, you really need, it'll solve a lot of problems going further if you're circumcised. And so Paul circumcises him, and he goes with them. On the second missionary journey, they're trying to go to Asia, and they don't go to Asia. Paul has the vision and the dream about the man from Macedonia, says, come to Macedonia. And they head to Macedonia. They go to Philippi and Thessalonica, and keep going all the way around and to Athens, all the way down to Corinth. They're on it. So you fast forward to Paul writing a letter to his young friend. And this is how he addresses him. He doesn't address him as son in the faith. He doesn't acknowledge you half-breed. He doesn't say you sinner, you whatever. He calls him man of God. If you look at the number of places and times where man of God is used in the Bible, we see the names of Moses. We see Eli, the priest of Shiloh. We know of David being a man after God's own heart. Timothy has made a mark on Paul. He is an equal in Paul's eyes, man of God. And so then he tells him what he needs to do. I can find that page. He said, this is the way you need to live. These are the virtues you need to have. You need to first be righteous. Righteous is defined as giving both to men and to God their due. It is the most comprehensive of the virtues. Righteous man is the one who does the duty of God and the duty of man. I want to say, to love God and love neighbor. He then is supposed to, the second one is to be godliness. Godliness. The best way to understand godliness is that no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you realize and understand that you are in the presence of God. That's not easy. Is it? Is that easy for anybody in here? Apparently not. Godliness is not easy. He talks about faith, fidelity. It's a virtue that through all the changes and chances of life, we remain loyal to God. Faith is not easy either. Love is the virtue of the man who, even if he tried to forget, he would not be able to forget how much God loves him and how much he loves God. And then there's endurance or patience. Victorious patience. I've told this to several people this week. Do not pray for patience. Do not ever pray for patience. Because God will answer that prayer. Because the only way you have to have patience is things in your life that cause you to have patience. And nobody wants those things in their life, do you? I don't want to endure that stuff. But have it. This is the victorious patience in the knowledge that in all things, God's going to win. The clock's never going to run out on God. And then lastly, there comes the virtue translated as kindness. It's described the spirit which walks in humility and yet in the pride of the high calling of God on our lives. Paul witnessed those things in the life of Timothy. And the beauty of what we're talking about today is we have witnessed those things in the life of young Wilmer, who was a child when he came. We were sitting there in the meeting, and I know I'm going to catch it from Jessica. We were in a staff meeting, and Jessica had met Wilmer's parents one Sunday when they were here. And welcome. We're glad y'all are here. In the staff meeting, she makes a statement. I realized that I am Wilmer's parents, the same age as Wilmer's parents. She said, that makes me feel old. And then I said, well, if you're old enough to be his parent, I'm old enough to be his grandfather. Man of God. I want to say he's a man of God because he is a man of God who has unbelievable gifts that he has lived out in front of us and with us and to us as a wonderful example. He's touched the lives of anybody who's taken the time to get to know him, or if you've just sat in his presence for a short period of time. I've seen him with children in Vacation Bible School. I've seen him in youth, working with the youth. I've seen him in here. I've seen him with the youth. I've seen him on Monday mornings with congregational care. He is an old soul. He is an old soul. They act better when Wilmer's in the group. Thank you for that, Wilmer. And so we wish for Wilmer to go with the blessing of Paul for Timothy. And may we also have a double portion of that blessing as we try to live out our faith in your absence. And as we seek to find the next person to be with our youth. So let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the call that you have placed on Wilmer's life. We thank you for his answering of that call that brought him here. And we send him forth proudly, having been touched with all the gifts and graces that you poured out on him. And may we have those same blessings. But may we also have those to share with the world. And we pray for the youth of Cornerstone that they will see and appreciate all the gifts that Wilmer has in the weeks, months, and years ahead. We ask this in your son's holy name. Amen.